a moment of reflection, able to connect our hearts to Jesus and our minds to the things of God. Lord, we just thank you that you have a plan for us. We're going to follow that plan. You have a means by which everyone in this room will leave touched, blessed, healed, whole, their life furthered, where they know that they've been in the presence of the Lord, that you, Lord God, give them backbone, confidence, peace, and joy. And they'll leave here, Lord God, tomorrow ready to tackle the world instead of ready to run from the world tackling them. I thank you, Lord, you give us all strength. And we walk in your victory in this very last of last days. We'll honor you with our faith. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Well, it's good to be with you again. And I think I speak for everyone, the Sosbys, the Durants, the Hockadays, to let you know. And of course, Robin, she's such a blessing to us. Thank you so much for sharing like you do. You know, I don't know if, well, I'm sure you do, but you know, it's not easy to do what she does, this many services, you know. So I just thank the Lord she has endurance and strength in that voice. Amen. And just the heart of staying connected to God in worship is what helps all of us. Can you say amen to that? But we want to all just thank you so much for the way that we've been treated, just the kindness of everyone, all the workers, those that are so faithful as helpers in the Helps ministry. Everyone we walk by to say hi to are all so gracious and so kind. Amen. We don't take those things lightly because we were there once. Amen. I remember some of the times, especially at camp meeting, it would happen, especially on those days where, you know, the first three or four rows, which were long rows now. I mean, we're talking about probably 40 people could get in one of those rows. You're talking about camp meeting, a big civic auditorium. And so for the first three rows, you'd have all the who's, you know, in charisma. You know, Copeland's are there, Savell's are there, Fred Price is there. You know, all the folks that, you know, are on the TV and those that have just wonderful big ministries that have done great things. Well, we'd be up there singing sometimes, and you could catch that feeling. Like, if you kids would just hurry up and get out of the way, you know, we came here to hear Brother Hagin. And, you know, on the nights where you'd feel that, he'd come up to the platform. Well, glory to God, glory to God, glory. Why don't you sing another one? And he'd go back and sit down. And then he'd come up, glory to God, glory to God. And at times, he'd even say, well, I'll tell you what, I think the anointing's on the group. Jimmy, why don't you preach a little bit? Or Keith, why don't you preach a little? And you could just see everybody going, you know, because they came to hear Brother Hagin, and they're trying to get us out of the way. And sometimes, you know, the Helps ministry gets overlooked a little bit. But we want to let you know we're not overlooking you at all. All the servers are just so gracious and kind. Amen. And it speaks highly of your commitment to the Lord. Amen. Now, I know we honor those that are in front of us and our employers and those that we honor in the pulpit and all to serve. But really, truly, we really honor the Lord. Amen. And that's what we learned years ago. That's the reason why it's very easy for us to just jump right back in those roles. Amen. But we want to just thank you here at Redeeming Love Christian Center for allowing us to be here. Time just goes by very fast. And the next thing you know, you've got one night left, and now you're in that night. Amen. We'll all be leaving tomorrow. But I believe there's some deposits that have been left. And I want you to know that we've received deposits. As ministers, we've received deposits. Some of the best deposits have been just getting to hang around Pastor Sarah again. Amen. It's wonderful. For Aaron and I, it's been about 28 years, but it doesn't seem like that now that we've had time just to spend with her and just hear her heart and just see the love of God that's in her soul. Amen. And so we're leaving with deposits as well. So what a wonderful exchange, where God be glorified. Well, a few things that we'll go ahead and say here that we have before we'll jump in. If you want to, you can turn over to Jeremiah chapter 29. While you're turning there, I have a few things from the Sosby ministry, from Leanne and Jerry. And one of them is a flash drive, and I know it has and contains. These flash drives are pretty amazing that they can contain as much as they do. But this contains all of their teaching material, and if you look on their table, there's all kinds of material. Like Reverend Annie said, you know, that Leanne says, well, I'm not a teacher, but she's got all kinds of teaching material everywhere, you know. And so this flash drive contains all of that, but some of the individuals are walking in the Spirit. That seems very appropriate to what we're doing here today. We're even talk about that tonight. We're walking in a consciousness of God being with us. Walking in the Spirit is simply that you're actually yielding your knowledge and your awareness over to God. I like to look at it like this. Multiple times, you know, you're sitting in a room and you hear your wife say something, but you're already focused on something else. So then you really didn't hear. And there's times, you know, Aaron would say, "Are you listening to me?" And my answer had to be, you know, "No." And that doesn't always go over so well, because you should be, you know. But what I've learned over the years is to give her one of my ears. In other words, if I hear her voice, I want to check and find out if she's talking to me. And there have been times where she said something, "Are you talking to me?" She goes, "No, I'm just talking to..." Maybe she's got an earbud in, she's talking to somebody else or whatnot. "No, I wasn't talking to you." But it's sure a lot better than ignoring her when she is. Because you can be listening to something and still be aware that someone else is in the room. And when you hear that voice, I love the scriptures over there in Romans chapter 8 in the Message Bible, where it says, "Sin speaks a dead language and means nothing to you, but God speaks your mother tongue and you hang on every word." You ever been in a foreign airport and everybody's speaking three or four different languages and you're just kind of there all alone listening to the clutter or the noise that has no distinction, and all of a sudden you say, "Joe, there's a McDonald's," and you're like, "Where's the American?" You know? And it's not they were any louder than anyone else, it's just that you heard that sound. It was your mother tongue. And that's how it is with God. We walk all day long picking up on him. Even when we're in the midst of the greatest confusion, you can hear him speak, because that's your mother tongue. Walking in the Spirit. Hope I did real good for you on that one. Amen. I'm sure you preached on that in here. Amen. So Healing School 101. And I know this is really good. It's probably all about just the anointing and the power and presence of God touching a life. And that's the kind of thing that we talked about so much in Healing School, is helping people to become aware of the anointing or the presence of God. And by doing so, people become more receptive to something they can't see that changes the thing they can. Amen. So you'll want to get these. These are really good. And then we've got from the Durant ministry, you weren't back there to help me look at some things here, but a worship CD here. It says, "I see the world in worship." Amen. What if you saw the world in worship? Amen. That right there should be on every news media. Instead of the seeing the world through the physical eye, that comes up with every reason why you shouldn't and don't and can't. What if you saw the world through worship? I'll go ahead and even stretch myself. Don't get mad at me for saying this. You got to love me anyhow. We're going to spend eternity together. But you know, we just came out of a month that's color-coded. I don't mean that badly. If someone in this room's had breast cancer, or if you know of somebody that's had it and died, we certainly have compassion. I'm telling you, you can't be in the healing ministry unless you have compassion. And it's that compassion that sometimes almost messes me up. I have to pull myself away because it pulls me in so hard, and then I can't think straight. And you wear heaviness, and you can't do that. Brother Hagin told me years ago, he said, "You'll have to pull back away and get away from it." He said, "They'll suck the life out of you." But you have compassion. I have compassion on anybody that's had cancer, but I've also seen all kinds of tumors disappear instantaneously. So I'm not moved by that. But my point of making reference to that is, I mean, even I remember back in the day, you know, go back to the 60s, you know, in the 70s, I played football in high school and college. And you know, back then, pink wasn't a real popular color for a guy back in that day. But I mean, even all the football teams, all the basketball teams, they'll all wear pink, you know, in the month, because we are honoring in one sense and thinking about in one sense those that have struggled. But at the same time, what if we all wore crimson red? I mean, Kevin and I did. So we looked at each other. I walk in the back room like, "Oh, no." And he got there first. And it's like, "Why did you copy me?" You know, and his is so much nicer than mine. But anyhow, no, what if we all wore crimson red, the whole world knowing that it meant the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ has removed every sickness and every disease? I think we could clear out the hospitals just by wearing that color. Because the more you make yourself aware of something on either end, the more you actually manifest it. So the more we wear pink, the more we honor, in a sense, what we're doing is we're making everybody so mindful of breast cancer that we give it the ability to stay. If Jesus took every sickness and defeated every single disease, then he actually believes there's none here to have to deal with. Now, your mind won't like what I just said, because you're going to say, look at the hospitals. I'm talking to you about principles that are absolute in heaven, not on earth, where everything's compromised. But in Jesus, he defeated every sickness and every disease. He believes he handled it for eternity. Not for a specific point of time, and then the next dispensation. He defeated the very source of it and took our actual infirmities and sicknesses and pains. You would say, then how come there's so much of it? Because we're all made in the image and likeness of whatever you believe you will create. If all things are possible to him that believes, it works on the positive as well as the negative, or the negative as well as the positive. Mankind continues to create the reality of sickness and disease, because you come on over into the Christian's point of view and believe you receive your healing, and the same thing somebody else has disappears in you. So what if we were all seeing the world through worship? Hey, wasn't that a good pitch? I mean, come on. Think about that. I said that all for that point. Maybe I should just be a front man for other ministers. So anyhow, get that CD, because the more you put that in your mind and your thoughts, those kind of thoughts, amen, you'll walk around thinking like that. Amen? And then I've got streams right here. We actually use this for our healing center. Yeah, we put this on and we play it. Sometimes we'll keep it in the background the whole time that we minister, just having the anointed piano music of Robin McCullum, being able to just be in the background, and it's anointed. You get to praying over this, and you'll get lost praying without thinking about the time. Amen. I know I've hit a gusher when I'm not thinking about the time. How about you? When you can get past this realm of time, and get over into, I don't really care how long I've been going, how long I have been going, but I'm just enjoying him. That's when things start to get really good. Amen? Real quickly, a few more things we have on our table. One is, where does God fit in? It's a $10 book. The first two or three chapters are just okay, but $10 is worth chapter 4 to chapter 8. I read it the other day. I was amazed. I thought to myself, when did I write this? And I went back to look, and I said, I can't believe I knew this then. And it blessed me because I learned some things from it. You say, what do you mean? Remember, I made a comment the other night. I said, you know, I've listened to myself preach for 30 years. Well, I'm not a writer. I barely made it through English. I was too busy playing football. And so when I came to writing, which was this first book, Until I Come, it's close to 300 pages. I had a little Sony a little Sony computer, and I went to Italy to preach. And so during the day, I preached on this subject, and it's the only time on purpose I kept myself from making the time change. You know, when you travel, you have to make some serious decisions, because if you let time changes move you, you will be all over the place. Like when you get home, you'll never be able to sleep, or you'll be getting up too early or too late. I've just always decided that wherever I go, I'm instantaneously on that time frame. I don't go by time. I go by whether the sun's coming up in the morning or it's going down at night. And I always make the time change like that. It never messes with me. And so this is the only time that I didn't, but I didn't on purpose. So I stayed up at night so that I could write. And I caught a little bit of sleep during the morning session until it was time to go and preach on the same subject that night. And so for 5 days I wrote, and I got to the end of it, and I had 101 pages. Now, I didn't notice that I was in 10 font and single space. So I thought to myself, man, I've written everything I can think about, and I preached on it this week, and it's just flowing out of me. In other words, I didn't write one thing. Every word came up like a word of knowledge, and it was a sentence I was being dictated to for 5 days, and I just wrote what I heard, because I couldn't have done it myself. And when I was done, I had 101 pages. Well, you know, all the people that I was working around, like Doug Jones and all, he's always writing books, and his are around, you know, 150 pages and stuff. So when I got back, I gave it to Andrell, and she took it, and she put it in 12 font, double space, and it blew up to 300 pages. So then I couldn't wait to go talk to Doug. And I said, Doug, how long does it take you to do your books? He said, well, it takes about 3-4 months, sometimes 5 or 6. I said, how long are your books? He said, well, they're all on the average of 140 to 180 pages or so, right around there. He said, how's yours going? I said, well, I already finished it. He said, you finished it? I said, yeah. He said, how long is it? I said, it's 300 pages. He said, how long did that take you to write? I said, 5 days. Well, he was, you know, he was flabbergasted, of course, but I should have shut up. You know what I mean? Because that's the last one I wrote in 5 days. Pride goes before the fall. You know what I mean? I should have just. But I'll just say this. You know, when God's writing it, it's good. So from chapter 4, chapter 10, it's all about where does God fit in. He'll fit anywhere in, anywhere you allow him to. And then until I come, it talks right here, the works I do, you shall also do. That's all about every believer can do the works of Jesus. That's what we saw at healing school. Instead of I have a special gift, what about a special revelation? When you have a revelation that you are a Christ man, that God walks around and lives in your skin, amen, and walks around in your clothes and lives in your shoes, amen. When you stretch your hands out, you're stretching out his. When you walk with your feet, you're walking with his. I had a vision one time, and that's what one of the things the Lord showed me and taught me. When you stretch your hands out, you're using mine. What would the vision look like? The moment I saw myself in a service, I stepped out to minister to somebody, and my arms disappeared, and I had brand new arms from the elbow down, and they were bigger forearms with black hair. The hands were about the same size. And I thought, this is really weird because they're not my forearms and hands, but they're on my arms and they're working according to the way I'm thinking. And then I turned them over and I could see right there, right in my wrist, I could see holes right through my wrist. And I realized those were the hands. When I did that, I looked down. The same thing happened to my legs. They just disappeared, and I had bigger calves, and I had bigger feet, and the hair on the calves was dark. Mine's real light, and I started going like this because they worked like they were mine, but they weren't mine. And I looked closely, and I saw big holes in the top all the way through in my feet. And when I saw that, the Lord said, I am flesh of your flesh and bone of your bone, and I live in you, and I walk in you. When you stretch out your hands, you're using mine. Well, you catch a revelation like that when you go to minister to somebody, you're not thinking about a gift. That doesn't mean gifts aren't in operation. We thank God we use any tool of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we're always wanting to add to our belt all kinds of tools and skills so that we can be better equipped to do a better job. But when you realize the King is living inside of you and walking inside of you, when you stretch out your hands, you're using Jesus' hands, something's going to happen. In fact, we're just going to forecast in this room, there's going to be all kinds of healings taking place tonight. Amen, there will. In a few moments, we've already seen some of them just sitting over there. What do you mean you've seen some of them? Well, see, that's exactly what we've been preaching. So now it's coming all the way full circle, right back around to the message Brother Kevin preached on Sunday morning, all about when you see something, you're going to what? You're going to want to do it. Why? Because it's going to point you in a direction to walk with or work with God. You're hearing something, you're seeing something, and you're doing something. It's the hearing, seeing, doing life of Jesus, and that's how he was so successful. We don't need to come up with a new pattern, folks. We just need to follow his. Can you say amen to that? That last little video or that last little CD that we have is called Intimacy. We've got about 13 of them left. They're just $5, and there's 6 CDs, and they're all about praying in other tongues, the reasons why you want to. And it's really, really good. And for $5, my goodness, I mean, you could put something on it if you wanted. It could become a coaster, and you could put your, for you know, they cost more than that at the store, so. Let's go ahead and have God just touch us tonight. So the first thing I'm going to say is we've talked a lot about a connection. And this is the pastoral part in me, even though I'm not a pastor. I hear things and then I hear how people think. So I just want to make not a correction, but an encouragement. You hear the word connection, and we can do the same thing with connection that we did with faith. If you have enough, yeah, I'm trying to get more faith. You keep on hearing and hearing and hearing, and then your faith will come. I'm hearing more. I'm hearing so much, I don't know how much more I can hear. When's faith going to come? And we turn it into a works. The moment you turn it into a works, you will try to get something you already have. Now, let me share it with this. The more you try to have something you already have, the more you devalue what you have. And everything is about value. Value, you think about mathematics, value has what? Numbers attached to it, right? Numerical value. And so if the devil has zero power, you don't want to give him some of yours. You want to keep him depleted. Well, how do you do that? You walk by faith. And what does that simply mean? That simply means that we're taking what God has said and who we are and the reality of the Spirit within us, and we're becoming involved in that life because that's the life now that we are living. Amen. I love the Message Bible that says you can't go back to your old house and live there. You've left there for good. You packed up and you're in a new house in a new land in this wonderful grace, sovereign, wide open spaces of life. We're not confined anymore in the place of what? The law, the flesh, and the world. The three things that Jesus, through the Apostle Paul, always warned everybody about. Paul was encouraging people to understand their place so that they could enjoy the presence of God. He wasn't trying to get you to know who you are so you can keep working on your doctrine forever. People didn't have Bibles back then. They didn't all walk around with scrolls. What do you mean? Paul's word that would come as a message to them had to be taken in a very general sense. So what was he saying? He was trying to bring them back to a consciousness of being able to walk right into the presence of their Father, where for generations they were not able to do so because they were not saved and sin couldn't touch the holiness of God. They'd have to come through sacrificial systems. They'd have to walk according to the law. And they were always conscious of self. This is why the blood of Jesus takes us out of the consciousness of self over into the consciousness of Christ, where we see ourselves in the victory instead of trying to get the victory, where we see ourselves praying from the other side of the wall, or we can say it like this: He raised us up to sit together with Him in heavenly places. If I'm already up there, why am I praying like I'm trying to get somewhere where I sit? If I'm trying to get somewhere where I already am, then I'm actually taking away the value of where I sit. In other words, I'm making it look like to the Lord Jesus that I really don't believe that He raised me up to sit together in heavenly places, because I'm not taking my place as though it's real. So then what reality is pulling me away from the real reality? It's a false sense of reality in the flesh of the law and in the world that I don't qualify, I'm not good enough, I have to earn my right to get there. If I can just pray enough hours, God will finally listen. And all of those things are grace killers. You will nullify the grace of God, and it's only the grace of God that we do any and everything in this life that makes sense. So then we hear the word connection, and we just want to say to you that you have such an amazing connection. We just don't think we do. So when we talk about it, it would be easy again to say, yeah, I gotta start working on that connection. Okay, in the old covenant, the woman touched Jesus' hem. In the new covenant, Jesus touches yours. This is all about what He's doing for you. I don't have my phone in my pocket usually when I'm ministering, but right now I have 5 bars. Well, that's important, everybody. Because you know when you're traveling through the mountains and all of a sudden you lose the connection, the first thing you do is you pull it away to see, is it on my end or their end? Because if you have 5 bars and you just drop the call, you know they must be out in the boondocks, right? Or if you're in the mountains and you know you just went into a valley and you got to come back out to the peak in order to get your connection again, you know, as soon as you start to get it, you'll say, hey, listen, I've got a bet. And then it drops again. And then you get back to, I got a really bad connection, I'll call you later. And then it drops again. Why? Because you know you don't have enough bars. Well, I want you to know that God, through Christ and through the blood, has five bars on you for eternity. In fact, not just you that are saved, he's got five bars on every single human being on the face of the earth. That's the reconciliation of the world. Now, those that respond to that will also get bars. And you can have interaction between one another when you've got bars. Now, how hard is it to get a bar? Well, think about this. Peter walks on the water looking at Jesus. He must have some bars because he's standing on the water. Right? Did he even actually put a lot of thought into that? No, that's a very spontaneous, random type of personality that says, Lord, if it be you, bid me come. And without even thinking what it actually means to come, he's already walking on the water and standing out there before him. Now he has an opportunity for just a moment while he's with him to consider what he just did. And when he considered what he just did and realized, I'm on the water, what began to happen to his bars? He began to lose some bars. And all of a sudden, the elevator is going down. And while it's going down, he realizes, I'm getting wet. He cries out to Jesus by looking at him, and the elevator goes back. Did you see how easy it is to go either way? So when you're walking in the Spirit, it just means you're more conscious of him. And you keep yourself conscious of him. Now, the coolest thing is, if you were keeping yourself conscious of a make-believe world, it will never manifest. It will always be make-believe. For instance, as a dad, you're playing with your girls. We had all girls. We were for sure the last one was going to be a boy. And for 9 months, everywhere I went, I got every crowd to repeat after me 3 times, boy, boy, boy. And then a girl came out, and I figured out how much faith they had, you know. So anyhow, we decided, you know, that's all we had is just girls, so we were going to populate the female race. So we decided after 3, we'd go ahead and stop. And then we went ahead and bought a couple boys. They were white and fluffy, and one was named Muffin. Sorry, Muffin. Not a great name for a dog, but anyhow, you know, the other one, he already had his name is Mitch. So Muffin and Mitch. And then they were taken care of, you know what I mean? And so then they didn't know whether they were or they weren't. And a lot of people are having that kind of problem today. I'll just say, you know, God knows what he's doing, and the way that he created a man different from a woman is pretty easy to tell, so anyhow, I'll just leave it with that. But anyhow. So, I got the pleasure of being able to do some of the fun things that a dad does with a little girl. And they'd bring me up into their parlor. And then I became the object of what they were going to do. And I'd sit there and they'd go get spray bottles and spray my hair down until it was all wet. And then they'd be taking these big, huge bobby pins and sticking them in there and combing it this way or that way. And then once they got me fixed up, then we'd have to play tea. And they'd go and they'd make tea and they'd bring it to me. Remember little Drew, she brushed it, Daddy, look what I made for you. And I said, honey, that looks really, really good. I did mommy help? She said, no. Didn't help at all? No, Daddy, I made it myself. I said, well, then this ought to be good. And I sipped it, and while I'm sipping it, she's looking like this to see what I'm going to say. And I sipped and said, that's really good, but I could take a little sugar. She ran over here, and she grabbed the sugar, and she came back. She said, do you want one or two, Daddy? I said, I think I need two. I'm a little on the sweet side. Give me two. She put two in there, and then I'd stir it up like this, and I'd take it, and she's looking again. I said, that is one of the best cup of teas. There's nothing in there, folks. I could play make-believe for that tea set until eternity stops, which won't, and there'll still be nothing in there. We are not walking in the spirit of a make-believe world that is not there. As you begin to allow him to become anything, he'll become everything because he is. Everything he is in me. Amen. Some of you that weren't here, you don't know that there's something happening here. Leanne has been so mean to me this whole entire time. So, no, actually, we're just having fun. We always have. Amen. But the more you allow God to be something anywhere, he'll become everything everywhere. And that's what happens. Now, remember years ago, I don't know how many years ago, maybe someone could help me. Let's just say a guess, maybe 20 years ago, maybe 25, maybe 30. That would really show our age. But remember about 30 years ago where you could go into one of those stores that had all kinds of pictures and different things, you know, paintings on the wall. And they would also have some of those paintings that were just a combobulation of just shapes. And you didn't see anything. But then you had to look at it until your eyes crossed. And the moment your eyes crossed, you know, and they'd help you with some things that you'd hold out here to look at until you begin to go like this. And then you would see into the picture, and all of a sudden there was something in the picture, if you could look at it with the right particular perspective, that would open up. And the interesting thing is, once you got locked into the picture, you could actually look around without coming out until you wanted to come out. We are becoming skilled. Paul talked about over in Hebrews chapter 5, how that there are individuals that were unskilled in the word of righteousness. You could say it like this. They were unskilled in being able to walk in everything that was right. Because righteousness really, at its core, is a factory that's put inside of you. And you become that factory. And that factory is the ability to change every wrong thing with every right thing of God in you. It's an overhaul to your whole entire being. And when you start to become good at righteousness, the heavenly world will open up and become real like those pictures. Because he went on to say, you should be right now on meat, but you're still on milk. But for those who are mature, through the practice or use, what do you mean practice and use? The use of training your tongue to be connected to your heart. The use of hearing correctly so you can see correctly, so you can do correctly. Come on, we've had a course in like 101 relationship with God, which is prayer. This is what we always did at prayer school. We take the beginning half of the year to get everybody conscious of God so that when we stepped over to pray in the Spirit or in any other way, we were connected to him. If we just made him pray and God's not to be found, then you've got a lot of words and it's never hitting the target. So Paul went on to say, when you're mature, you use this, or the Passion Translation said, those that are mature sense the heavenly realm. Amen. And that world is here right now for us to step into. So I wanted to encourage you that we all have a wonderful connection with Christ. That's what salvation is. We didn't get a bad deal. But the more we pay attention to the things of God and include him to be a part of everything, the more the reality of the connection goes up bar by bar. You have a connection, but the reality of it goes up one bar after another until you're living in a consciousness of God. At that particular point, anything's possible. Luke chapter 17, you know, Jesus told the disciples, hey, if people mess up with you, forgive them. And if they do it seven times, forgive them seven times. Well, when he went to the seven times thing, that went off the chart for the disciples. They said, well, Lord, increase our faith for us to be able to do that. And then what did he come right back with? If you've got faith the size of a mustard seed. He went to the smallest measurement of faith to tell them you have a whole lot more than this. But if this is all you had and you actually used it, what was the example? A servant doing their duty to go out and do the things that they do, to come back into the house and do the things that they do, to prepare the meal that they prepare, and then for them to go and do what they do, for you to say you've done really, really well, you don't really have to do that when it's just their duty. So it seems like what he was trying to infer is, if you'll take that small little measure of faith that you have and start using it, it will produce on its own. In other words, stop thinking that you don't have what it takes. And be invested in, when I tell you to do something, there's a supply for you to do it. And if you can see it, you can have it. But they didn't see it until Jesus began to give them a picture that a person that is doing their duty does it because they have the wherewithal to do. And if you're going to walk in the Spirit, you have the wherewithal to do. Can I ask you a simple question here? And you can tell I didn't make it to Jeremiah 29. Can anybody tell that I didn't make it? And I'm so far out now, I don't know that I can. Amen. That was 15 minutes ago. We went by that. Is everybody okay with this? The Lord's just trying to get us, at times he's trying to get us off script because we premeditated something that we ought to be just confident that God will lead us and guide us into. I mean, think about, how do you start a conversation with somebody out in the street? Now, there's some people, you know, you've never met a stranger. And for those of you that are like that, hats off to you. Because I'm not like that. You say, well, I would see you that way. I'm not. You say, would you have any problem talking to a stranger? No. Well, see, then you're like that. No, I'm not. I make myself do everything. I make myself do it. What gives you confidence? God's in the doing. God's already been there. He's already fixed it. The anointing's on it. If I'll just step out, he will fill my tongue. And it'll become like a tongue of a ready writer, like Brother Hagin used to always preach. In other words, you'll be writing all kinds of amazing letters and words that'll come right out of your tongue, and you had no idea what you were going to say. So for some of you that would think, well, that's just how you're geared. Well, that's how I've had to prepare myself to be geared. Everybody can step over into that. You say, well, what would make you say that? Because it's not you. You're stepping over into an unction. Isn't that what we've been singing? I've got an unction. I can preach and pray and prophesy by what? By my skill, by my personality. Personality and skill only take you so far. But the Holy Ghost will take you all the way. Amen? See, there's an anointing in this room right here, right now. There's a presence. We can step into it more, we can step into it less. I just rather believe that all of us can step into it more. Now, I was able to actually transition, I didn't think I would, and I didn't have to, into Jeremiah chapter 29. So look at just for a second, and I won't take much longer, but I will give you a couple thoughts here about what we're doing tonight, and then we'll just pass it off like we did last night and just let everybody jump in, you know. But it says in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and to give you a hope." I'm telling you, God's into your future. Hallelujah. Tell you what, do something for just a second. Just lift your hands and close your eyes and worship the Lord. I'm going to minister just for a second. I just saw myself come over here, Kyle. Manite erfasu emergini eridigena et tetia fropo omahu se cake adust the brava stein lidli dudenia bunj de dredi stai. And so you'll find yourself even in the next few nights as you get quiet right before bed. The Spirit of the Lord will come into your room and the Spirit of the Lord will fall upon you. For there have been days before and times in your life where the Spirit of God has been so real to you that you could cut it with a knife. So thick that you knew that God was real, and you know in your soul. And God's going to come and visit again. For there is a plan, and there is a purpose, and there is a way, and there is a direction that the Lord has given unto your heart. And the tenderness of your heart and the tenderness of God's heart shall together as one become a very powerful thing in the days to come. So you watch, even in the next few nights, the Lord will come and he will minister and he will say and he will do. And your heart shall be filled with laughter. Your heart shall be filled with gladness. And there will be a joy that will be a strength to you that will overcome any weakness or thought of anything that wouldn't be so. In Jesus' name. And if you'll receive that, my brother, I'll tell you what, it'll happen just like I said. Wow. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Come on, there's a ministry here tonight. There's an anointing here tonight. Wow, 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 wow. You know, sometimes we don't recognize the power of our voice, but our voice, if it's connected to God, has infinite possibilities. I remember praying with Dorinda one time. And so I said to her, we were in the middle of something. And I just turned around and said, you're going to have a visitation tonight. You're going to see Jesus. I didn't think anything of it. And it was about a week later, she came to me and told me. She said, you said that. Remember you said that? I said, yeah. She said, well, that night, she said, all of a sudden, angels came in my room and Jesus walked in and talked to me. And I thought, good Lord, heaven, why didn't I say I'm going to have a visitation? I'm going to see Jesus. Sometimes we don't recognize the significance of the things that just been said. But I'm learning to become more confident in it as we do what? As we all grow and develop in the Spirit. Come on, real quickly, let's go to another verse. And I don't have much more to say. I'm watching the time here. It's not too late. Isaiah chapter 46, it says, declaring the end, listen, this is so powerful, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do or shall do all my pleasure. So God's into your future. And notice about God concerning the future, he actually seems to know the future as well as the past. Or we could say, before you start a thing, he's already seen the end. No, I mean, when I think about that, I'd have to say, wow, what an advantage. I mean, have you ever heard the phrase, bet the farm? Come on, if you were on a horse race and you already knew who's going to win, you could bet the farm on the fact you already have a future because you know exactly who's going to win. We have way too many advantages. I'm telling you right now, way too many advantages, and our adversary, according to Isaiah chapter 14, is someone when we see him for who he really is, we are going to say, is that what caused nations to tremble and brought men to their knees? In other words, people are going to say, what in the world is that? And someone's going to say, well, that's Satan. Oh, no, he's not. That's not Satan. He's a really big fellow with a pointy tail and a pitchfork, and he's got some horrible ears, and he looks really, really nasty. See, they're walking around with a God that's about 2 inches tall that they stick in their coat pocket, but they've got a real big devil in front of them. And the devil will be to you anything you allow him to be. And if you allow him to be a big devil, he'll be a big devil. Because again, you give him value he doesn't have. You give him ability that he does not have. Jesus thoroughly whipped him on our behalf and gave unto us all power. I mean, the advantages are absolutely amazing, are they not? Adam gave over his authority to the devil. The devil said to Jesus, and he didn't say a lie when he said this. He said, you know, these nations, I'll give you all the ability to rule over them, for that has been given to me. Well, who gave that to him? Adam did. So what anointing did Jesus come in order to defeat the devil? The anointing of Adam. See, everybody wants to say Jesus had all power before the cross. No, he did not. Well, Jesus did what he did because he's Jesus. No, he did not. He came as a man. Being God, he laid aside the privilege to operate as the individual of whom he was, and he came in the likeness of a man in the anointing that the man had that he gave to him when he created him. So he can meet the devil on equal terms and whip him. Not with more power, but with the same anointing of Adam that was given to Adam that got given to the devil. And Jesus made sure he whipped the devil on every account before he went to the grave. First thing he did was he messed with weather. Yes. And with natural things. He was out in the wilderness getting ready for his bout with the enemy. Mark tells us there were wild beasts out there. Why did it say wild beasts instead of pussycats and puppy dogs? Because these animals could easily have used Jesus for lunch. How come they never touched him? Because he walked in the authority that God gave man, where man has a rulership over the creation that God made for man. So they didn't touch him. The next thing that he did, which his first recorded miracle, was he turned water into wine. In that particular area concerning water, the next thing he did was what? He commanded it to be still, and it obeyed him. And that seems to be a degree higher in elevation, progress, than turning the water into wine. And then the next thing that he did after that, he walked on it. Once you can walk on it, you're pretty well on it. And you look how he did with nature, with animals. Talks to Peter about casting his net on the other side. And all of a sudden, they learned a different method of fishing, where fish actually jump into your net on purpose. Instead of you casting to try to catch one, they actually catch you. And they caught so many that, you know, the ships were starting to sink. They had to bring other boats to bring in the haul. Then Jesus needed tax money. So what did he say? He said, Peter, take your fishing rod, go on down there. First fish that jumps on your rod, it'll have a couple of coins in its mouth. Go ahead and pay my tax and your tax. See, we'd have a whole lot more Christians if people could get tax money like that. Did Jesus know? You know, he went down to the fishing hole, just happened to be going by, and he saw this fish smiling at him, and it had a couple gold teeth, you know. He just knew if he can get that fish, pluck that teeth out, he'd go cash in. No, you got to understand something now. He's using a dominion and an authority over the elements and over that which has been created on his behalf. So when he said that, there's a whole school of fish going to school. Says, teacher, I'm being commissioned. The teacher said, well, I don't understand that. I don't either, but I have to leave right now. Can I have a pass? Yes, you may have a pass. And he swung him down, and he didn't know what he was doing, and he grabbed a couple of shiny things, and then he went to look, and all of a sudden it was like a hook came in, and it's like the angel choir went, "Loo!" And he said, that's my hook. And he jumped on it. Peter took him, gently took that out, took the gold out of his mouth, threw him back in, and he quickly went back to school. What happened? I can't tell you about it. All because Jesus said something that he was moved out of his heart to release. And because he didn't believe that this was impossible, then it just worked. Can I tell you a story? Kyle's like, well, you're going to tell it anyhow. I could read your thoughts there. I saw that gesture. Cowboy friend of mine, 3 weeks being saved. Just 3 weeks, and he's being saved. Came to some of my meetings where we're teaching people about doing the works of Jesus. He came up afterwards and said, I love what's going on here. I knew he wasn't saved. So I said, why would you come to a meeting like this, where we're teaching people about doing the works of Jesus, releasing the anointing? He said, I want to heal horses the way you heal people. I said, well, you'll do better on horses than I do on people. Horses don't think, you know. I said, would you like to get saved? He looked up like this. He goes, no, I just want to heal horses. I said, okay, see you next week. Next week he came, he just beelined it up, shook my hand, and said, man, this is good, this is really good. And this time I said to him, I said, if you really like it, I said, this is all borrowed material. You need to meet the author. I said, so tonight I do not ask you, would you like to receive Jesus? I'm telling you, you're going to receive him. Now give me your hand right now and repeat these words after me. And he asked Jesus into his heart. Now, when he did, he was on a couple steps lower than me, but he was like 6'2", 6'3", so he was taller than me, but he's a little bit lower like this. And when he said, Jesus, come into my heart, I looked at him like, this is going to get real freaky from here. And he jumped back like this. What are you talking about? I said, dee, 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 dee. I was just messing with him. Well, the next week he comes back and talks about the horse that had a blind eye, eighth of an inch hole in its eye, bone spurs and arthritis, and he didn't know what to say in the name of Jesus, so he just grabbed the horse and said, God says you're okay. The cowgirl and the veterinarian that were there cussed him out. Who do you blankety blank? I said, what'd you do? He said, I cussed him out too. 3 days later, the hole in the eye filled back over. The horse could see, the bone spurs left, the arthritis left, and there was brand new enamel on all the teeth. Now, why did that happen? Because he hadn't been to a church that told him it couldn't happen. Don't be messing with me right now. I'm getting a little edgy, and that's when things start to happen. So the next week he comes up and says, you're really not going to believe this one. I said, well, tell me, what happened? He said, I'm in a feed store getting some feed for the horses. He said, a woman comes in hysterical. Somebody help me, somebody help me, somebody help me. He said, there's nobody in there right now. At that moment, the guy that runs it, he was in the back room. He said, so I just said, ma'am, well, what can we do to help? And just hysterical, she said, I shut the door on my cat. She said, I don't think it's doing very good. Could you please come and help me? He said, all right, ma'am, let's go look at your cat. And they go to the car, and she opens up the trunk. So, my God, if you didn't kill him, you smothered him. What'd you put him in the trunk for? And it's laying on its side with its tongue hanging out of its mouth. And, of course, this guy's country, you know. He looks at her and says, ma'am, that thing's deader than a can of corned beef. Now, don't get lost in that, because I know New Yorkers are going to say, what's a can of corned beef have to do with a dead cat? I know. That's all right. Just leave it alone. It's dead. Got all nine lives. All of them. She said, well, I'm a Christian. And that was the wrong thing to say to him. He said, how come? Well, later I found out that he was a genius. 17 authored books in Barnes and Nobles on horses. 4 earned PhDs. He aced his SATs and his ACTs. He could read 5,000 words per minute and 97% retention. As a 9-year-old boy, he read the Bible in 4 hours from cover to cover. So when you're that smart, everything has to line up. You can't say one day 2 + 2 = 4 and the next day 2 + 2 = 4.5. It always has to equal the value of which you give it. So when he's just figuring this out, but he's that smart to put it all together that you just said you're a Christian with a dead cat. How does that make sense? Now, there's some of you that said, thank God it was dead, you know, because you're a dog person. You know, I get that. I get that. But for those of you cat lovers, we'll make this really nice, okay? Because it's a really good ending. But when she said Christian, it didn't compute. Christian, God, dead cat. And he said, well, what does that have to do with it? She said, well, I prayed. Now it's worse. I'm a Christian in contact with God, and I have entreated him on behalf of this cat to heal it, but the cat's still dead. Where do you find that in the Bible? Now, let me pause for a second and say, I'm right with you, everybody. Because when I first heard it too, I would have said, well, what's so bad with a dead cat, you know? I mean, there's a lot of them. Half the time, you're trying to get him to go to somebody else's house, you know? See, have we sunk so low that in so many areas, because we've not been living in this place where he takes us on to other imaginations and thoughts, that we can put up with that without any problem, then what other area can we compromise and say, well, it's no big deal that the tumor didn't leave. I still can go get it taken out with surgery. See, A.W. Tozier said, real faith is where you put yourself on purpose in a position where you can't go back. Pseudo faith is where you have a way out just in case God fails you. Now, he didn't say that, you know, yesterday. He said that back in 1880 or 1890. Come on, you all with me for just a couple more minutes? I prayed. So he said, well, what'd you pray? And she got all misty-eyed, and she said, I prayed God have mercy on my cat. He yelled out, mercy? He said, that needs life. And she said, well, I don't know anything about that. He said, yeah, I know you don't. And then this is what he said. 3 weeks being saved. See, he figured it out, Pastor Ed. He walked to her and said, now, I'm not praying for that cat. It's the ugliest cat I've ever seen. He said, but I will pray for you. Put his hand on her shoulder, and this is what he said. God, please, please open her eyes just enough so she can believe just a little. Listen to this, and then you can be God. In other words, he recognized that if she's a Christian, supposedly connected to God, and she's not getting the answer, she's got to be in the way. If I can get her to get out of the way, now what do I need to do? Take her through 50 different classes to build up her faith to the certain hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing? Come on, we led people to believe that we're ignorant and we're dumb. We're a lot smarter and sharper than you think. Why? Because your heart is smart. What did he do? Open her eyes just enough so she can believe just a little, and then you can take over and do what you always do. When he prayed that, she said, oh God, I do believe. Meow, the cat sat up. Remember that? And she said, it's a miracle. And he said, no, ma'am, that's not a miracle. It's a miracle, my cat. He said, no, ma'am, that's not a miracle. And she said, well, if it's not a miracle, then what's a miracle? He said, the miracle is that you believe God for years, or the miracle is you've been a Christian for years and you finally believed him today. Now, 3 days later, she called up hysterical on the phone and said, oh, you're never going to believe. You're never going to believe this. I went to the vet. He said, well, go on. What happened? Well, I took my cat to the vet, and he gave my cat a CAT scan. I came up with that myself, everybody. Woo! That's so good. Maybe I just want to marvel in that for a second. And he said, I've never seen anything like this in my life. You crushed the cat's skull and something put it back together. And he said, I'm going to scan the rest of the cat. As he did so, big old tears welled up in his eyes and began to drip off his cheekbones. And she said, Doc, what's wrong? He said, well, he said, I spayed your cat years ago, as you know. All the female organs are back in. Your cat can have kittens. She said, BJ, isn't that amazing? He said, ma'am, I'm going to give you the money to get that cat spayed again. We don't need any more ugly cats in Tulsa. Now, look it. Why can somebody figure that out that hadn't been around, quote unquote, the message? When they haven't been dumbed down to think it might not, they just think everything can. All things are possible. In the service tonight. Is somebody feeling anything over here? All things are possible to him that believes. And I don't know about you, a dog barks because it's a dog, and a cat meows because it's a cat, and a believer believes because it's a believer. Just by the mere quality of what we've been made, it's impossible for us not to believe. We've just been believing in the wrong things, which is called an unbelief. And it's time to shift it in the Spirit with the Holy Ghost to a belief. Jesus walked in all these levels of the anointing to take back every reason why we can't go manifest and be the sons of God. Do you know creation itself is looking, groaning, desiring? One translation said all creation stands on its tiptoes desiring to see a real live Son of God. Like there's one, no. There's no. What about when they really see you? There's one. Just lift your hands for a second. Some things are starting to happen in this room. Hallelujah. I can tell you right now, right here, if you've got any type of stomach problems, if you'll come down here, we'll minister to you. God will set you free and heal you right now. What is this called? It's called prayer. You say, well, I thought it was called ministry. No, it's listening, fellowshipping, interacting with the Holy Spirit, with God. That's prayer. Amen. And we're not done tonight. We're going to hand it off to these other capable ministers. And thank God, God will touch, use them to just go further in some things. But we're endeavoring as much as we can to open the mind and open the soul to the bigger relationship in God. Come on, Aaron. Ladies, if you come down here, put your hands on your belly. I'm just going to tap your hands. Actually, my wife will be on your hands. Amen. She'll put her hand on yours. Father, in the name. Well, I feel that right now. In the name. In Jesus' name. That's it right there. Amen. Put your hand on her. In the wonderful. That's it right there. Jesus' name. Amen. That'll come out of you. You'll be fine. You'll be perfect in every way. In every way. Perfect in every way. Hallelujah. Perfect in every way. Glory. Is there anyone else like that? If you're coming, take a moment to get down here. Come on. Aaron, come on back up here. We'll just minister a few folks. There's ministry here right now. There's a stream, amen, where the Holy Ghost is doing some things in whatever manner we need to take it, in prayer, whatever, we'll go, okay? But you guys jump right in. I'm not the only one that has something right now. Put your hands on your belly, amen. Wow, I felt that. The moment you touched yourself, I felt the Holy Ghost going to you right, boo, Jesus, that's it right there. Come on, we're not sensationalizing this. This is just something that's raw and it's real. And it's tangible. Wow. In the name. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Ma'am, it'll be more than just your stomach. Am I getting that right? That the Lord wants to do even more than just your stomach? Will you let him do everything? I mean, if God can touch you in one area, he can't touch you in all. Then put your hands on him. In the name. I command that to come out. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Come on up here. Put your hands on your belly. Every one of you, come on up here, ma'am. Put your hands on your belly. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I keep hearing this little bit right now. Tis so sweet to trust. You remember that, right? Why don't you just sing that while we're ministering? Come on, let the glory come in here, everybody. We're just starting, but now it's, wow, thank you. I see it in my eyes. The fire of God sets you free tonight, sir. There'll be nothing left of that difficulty. This will be wonderful. Just come on, let's sing together. Just to say the same, Lord. Come on, Jesus.
Because he had an issue with his hip. He had just had a hip replacement and he was still having pain in his hip, and so we were ministering to him, and when we laid hands on him, his hip was immediately healed, but I heard a pop in his neck. And I said, did you hear that? I said, I heard your neck pop. And all of a sudden he starts moving it around, and he goes, wait a minute, I can't do that. He says, I have two metal plates in my neck, one in the front and one in the back. I could see the scar. He said, I'm not supposed to be able to do this. So he said, well, what happened to the plate? I have no idea. I don't really care. But tonight, somebody's got some metal plates or metal rods in you. If that's you, come on down here. God wants to minister to you right now. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Metal plates, rods, screws. Hallelujah. Ushers will help you get in place. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise the name of the Lord. Glory to God. You might say, is God going to take him out? I don't know. He's just going to fix whatever needs to be fixed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank God for doctors being able to do some things, you know, being able to put things in bodies and stabilize things and all that kind of stuff. But it's still not God's best. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. What is it with you? They had to break your jaw. And does it affect you now?
Yes, it's the nerve.
The nerves. Hallelujah. How will you be able to tell a difference?
I'll be able to just touch it without it being so tender. It's still tender.
Still tender. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are you ready to receive tonight?
Yes,
glory to God. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, we minister God's healing mercy right now. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Glory to God. What is it with you? A rod in that leg. And what's it? How's that affect you?
In the back, it pops sometimes.
Pops some. Sometimes it pops, so it inhibits your movement somehow.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Are you ready to receive? Take my hands. In the name of Jesus, glory to God. Hallelujah. We minister God's power to you right now. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now move that leg. Bend it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What's different now? It's loosening it up. Glory, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How different is that now? We'll ask you in a minute. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Yes, Marie, what's up with you? Change the way you can move?
Yeah, and it changes my gait, and you know, it's affected the right leg a little because the, I guess, it's whatever.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. In the name of Jesus, we minister the fire of God right now. The fire. Yep. Glory, glory, glory. Move that ankle around. Praise God. Hallelujah.
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 Right.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
What's different now?
It feels much lighter. It feels like, it just feels like light and flowing and not, you know.
Yeah. Come on, let's walk. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
How's that?
Trust you.
It's tender. That's the beginning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not as tender. That's good, right?
Yes, it
that's
is.
Different, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Because at one point, nothing could touch it. That's how tender it was. Uh-huh. Even when I go to sleep, the blanket
Yeah, press on it real hard now.
Hallelujah.
Even better?
Yes, it's feeling better.
Yeah, yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, next time you touch it, don't touch it with the intent on when is it going to hurt. how hard can I go till it starts hurting? Don't think that.
Okay.
Yeah, because he's already done it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. You won't even be able to find the hurt anymore.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. He's fixing it. He fixed it. He fixed it. How much better now?
The doctor said because of my age, it was going to take a long time for my jaw to heal. Because the surgery was only for 16 to 20-year-olds, and because I'm 52, they said it's going to take a couple of years. And right now, I don't feel the nerve. I had already prayed. I said, God, do a miracle. I believe for my jaw to be complete and restored. And then you asked, mentioned the metal plate, and that's what they put. And I don't feel anything.
Glory to God. Glory to God. That's Jesus. Amen. That's Jesus. Where's the metal in you?
In my knee and in my hip.
Does it cause you any pain or any mobility issues?
It hurts.
It hurts. Does it hurt right now?
Yeah.
Get ready. Get ready. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because the power's flowing now. There you go. That's the power right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now let's move. Move that knee. Move that hip. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. How's that doing now? I see a smile on your face.
It doesn't hurt it doesn't as much hurt. Anymore.
It doesn't hurt as much. That's the beginning. Glory to God. All the way now. All the way. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Come on, walk with me. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. How's that feeling? Feeling good? Yes, yes, yes. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory.
Trust you.
How much better now?
A lot better.
Yes, ma'am. All the way. All the way. All the way. All the way. Where was it with you?
It was an implant here. Mm-hmm. And I feel like there is a chronic inflammation or something with it or on it. Uh-huh. Like,
yeah. Has it bothered you this evening even?
No. Or just... I didn't remember. And then I heard I'm supposed to come.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, we minister God's power to you, right? That's it. That's it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How you doing, sis? How much better so far? Not popping.
Not popping. Yep. Not hurting. Praise
not
popping, God. Not healed. Amen.
Probably gone. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Do you have something metal in you as well?
I've had two hip replacements on the right and one on the left, and at different times they still bother me.
You ready to receive tonight?
Yes.
Yeah. Take my hands in the name of Jesus. Be whole in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory. Glory. Come on, just relax and receive right now. Hallelujah. There you go. There you go. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now go ahead and do something you couldn't do before. You don't need to fall right now. Praise God. Hallelujah. I can't do that unassisted, so I'm going to hang on to her. Woo! Praise God. Hallelujah. How's that doing now? praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, let's lift up our hands and magnify the Lord. Magnify Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Praise God, Miss Leanne.
How I trust you.
Glory. 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 How I proved you, Lord and Lord. Jesus. Jesus.
Precious Jesus.
Talking about this connection with Jesus all this week, and we've been talking about the Holy Spirit on the inside. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, but don't go until you're endued with power from on high. You don't have to be filled with the Holy Ghost to speak with other tongues to go to heaven, but if you plan on living here on this earth for very long, you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost and speak with other tongues, because the Holy Spirit is sent back for us to live on this earth. Praise God. Is there anyone here, you've never been filled yet with the Holy Spirit, with that evidence of speaking with other tongues, but you're ready tonight? Praise the Lord. Anybody here, you've never spoken with other tongues yet? Tonight's your night, if that's you. Praise the Lord. Lift up your hand if that's you. We want to minister to you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Are we missing anybody? Glory to God. Glory to God. Come on. Don't do without. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Whatever's next. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
In the area of nerve damage. And so, we learned back in healing school, remember, we'd see something and then we didn't know what we were doing, which was the best thing, because then we were being taught by the Lord. Remember, Brother Hagin said, I'm not going to help you. And yet everything we got, we'd go over and we'd talk to him about it, and he'd get so happy because we were seeing something and experiencing something that he'd already experienced years ago, and he could sit there and tell us story after story about what we were sharing with him, how right it was. And we had wonderful times in his office, you know. But we just decided whenever we would see anything that we were going to then see that continually. Like, Lord, why would you use me in this area if you're not going to continue to? Wouldn't that be like wrong? Like, I wouldn't do that to my children. Why would you do that to me? So we just made a decision. And before we left healing school in those 10 years, we really got to a place where there were a good 30 or more things that, I mean, it's not like you couldn't get healed of anything, but if you came in with any one of those 30 things, we would almost guarantee you that you were going to walk out of there completely healed, completely whole. Because you get to a place like Jesus did. He, one step after the other, he began to conquer every area until, isn't it interesting that Jesus waited 4 days before he went and saw Lazarus? Do you know that Jesus knew when Lazarus died? He told his disciples he's sleeping. They said, well, good Lord, because if he's sleeping, then he's going to get better. He said, no, Lazarus is dead. And he still didn't go just a day's journey to see him until the fourth day. Let me propose to you, is it possible that Jesus waited till the fourth day because if he could get somebody out of the grave in 4, how much confidence would it give him that he could get himself out in 3? You don't think Jesus developed his consciousness? In other words, having stepped into something to the degree that now I already have the answer. In other words, if God has a consciousness of the end before the beginning, does he not want us to actually see everything as though it's already finished before we even start? To have such a spirit of dominion that it could affect the followers that were around Jesus to the point that when a whole squadron of soldiers stood before Jesus and the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, that Peter had the audacity to take out his sword and go after a high priest's servant's ear. He wasn't going after ear. That just shows you how bad of a shot he was. But that's today like taking out your 9mm while you're standing in front of 30 policemen who'll all take theirs out as well. It's suicide. What gives him that right to do that? He's hanging out with somebody who is invincible. As God, as man. Jesus gave us a glimpse of what it looks like for God to live in a human body. So we've begun to see this area of nerves. So if you've been having some problems with your nerves, been having some problems with your circulation, come on down here. Let's take care of this, and then Leanne's got something following, okay? Hallelujah. It's 8:58. We're doing okay, everybody. Last night of the conference. We'll be done in just a moment. Say, why would God move like this? My opinion, and it can be wrong, and I'm okay to be wrong. If you're not willing to be wrong, you'll never be right. My opinion is the Lord just wants to touch you. He wants to encourage you that all of our talking about prayer and relationship, communion, confidence, and awareness is so that this is something that from this point on, you can begin to experience yourself and then minister it to others. That you can walk in a place where you hear Him, know Him, see Him, follow Him. Can you say amen to that? Come on, Aaron, let's just touch these people. Ma'am, you've got the Holy Ghost all over you before we even touch you. So I'm going to just ask you a simple question. Where have you had difficulty with your nerves?
Two car accidents.
And so down this left side of the hip, you've had difficulty as far as feeling is concerned. And your whole left side. Let me ask you a question. Is it possible with the Holy Ghost already on you that there's something about this left side that actually feels as good as the right side? Is it possible that you don't hurt anymore and that feeling has just come back into you? Go ahead and just tap and see and see what's going on, because I really don't know that we have to do too much here that hasn't already been done. Amen. What's going on? What's different? The right one and the left one feel the same? What about the hips? You got it, didn't you? You know why the Lord has me do that kind of thing? Because people are in faith more than they know. And they are connected to God more than they know. Why don't you tell everybody again what happened? We got just a microphone here.
I have been in 2 car accidents. And my left side, it had been bothering me for some time. But I had prayed about it and I gave it to God. And I told Him, I know I'm healed. And even though it would hurt, I will always say, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed. And before you came and spoke to me, I felt Him all over me. And I just feel fine. I feel normal. I'm healed. Yeah. I'm good.
Amen. So let me ask you a simple question. What's the possibility that He'll never leave you, never forsake you, and He's always on you? So if you can tap into, which you can, because it's as simple as what? Peter's on the water, and now he's sinking. Up, he looks at the Lord and now he's up. He looks at the water and now he's down. It's as simple as focus, and He's on you.
Amen.
At all times.
Amen.
Kind of sounds like divine health to me, doesn't it? How about you?
Lord.
Isn't the Lord going to do something wonderful right now?
I'm trusting and knowing that He will.
Well, watch. This is so simple, Aaron. I'm not saying anything because of the presence. And nothing really to say. God's all over this woman. Amen. Check yourself right now. See what the Lord just did. What?
Jesus, thank you, Lord.
What just happened to that whole side?
I was having, according to the medical professionals, musculoskeletal problems. And it was causing me to have all kind of circulation problems, pain in my arms that was moving from side to side, pain in my hands that was causing me to, preventing me from being able to do simple things. But glory to God, I couldn't raise my arm.
You couldn't raise your arm, but you can. Now there's no pain?
No pain.
Amen, amen.
No pain.
Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. What about you?
Experiencing numbness in both arms. It's neck related.
Yeah, it's neck related.
Neck related.
I bet you I can turn this around about 360 degrees right now. And if I can't get it all the way around, I'm certainly going to try. Wow. 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 Man. I think I overdid it one. I'm going to go back. There you go. Check it all now. Amen. Jesus is a chiropractor. He knows how to release all the nerves. I was just acting like one, but he's really the one.
I felt the clicking in it, but I didn't have the numbness when I came up here because it's not constant.
Yeah.
It feels great.
Well, just let everybody know tomorrow how wonderful Amen. It is to be free. All right? How about you, man?
Pain in my neck right here. Just happened tonight.
Yeah. So just nerve, right?
Mm-hmm.
Put your hand on her, Aaron. Wonderful. Well, I'm not going to touch you, ma'am. Jesus just jumped into your skin. Hallelujah. And I can guarantee you, you can move that head back and forth and shake it back and forth, side to side like a dog on a bone. Amen.
Amen.
You do not have that problem anymore.
Yeah, no. It's just right here. It's gone.
Move it around. Side to side.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Well, I mean, you got something the other day.
Yeah, I'm going to get the rest.
Now you're running.
I want to go.
You might as well get the rest.
Yes, so.
Do you know anything about jumper cables up here in New York?
Not really, no.
But you know what they are, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like when your battery's bad, you know, you get somebody's got a car where their battery's fine.
Absolutely.
And then the electricity and energy from one can go to the other battery and charge it up. These are jumper cables.
Praise
right
God.
Now. Put your hands on right here. I don't have to even... Oh, that's it right there. When she put her hands on, see, it just doubled. It just jumped up in energy, in voltage. Hallelujah. I dare say that what you've been dealing with has no chance of being here in the next... Remember we counted the other day to 10? I think we're getting better. We can just count to 5 now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I even did it fast. Check yourself and see what God just did.
My neck and my back, yes.
There's a lot of young people can't bend over and do that.
I need to be mobile, my body. I need it.
I know.
And
I know.
Yeah, it's been attacked lately, so
yeah.
Yes. I'm running, I'm doing everything, and it's done. It's done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Touch me again.
Sometimes it's just good, isn't it? Amen. I think you already got healed here tonight for something, didn't you?
Yes.
Amen. You're going to get a little more.
Yes.
I love that. Amen. I love that. Put your hands in my hands, Aaron. Well, wow. What about this side over here? Is that where you're needing? What's going on? Sure, sure. Look at what he's just doing right now. Liberating you and setting you free. Hallelujah. 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 You can't find it anymore, can you?
Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you, Lord.
That's pretty cool. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
the name. My, my, my. Woo! Check yourself and see if you're not just in for it. Ready to get this? In the name of Jesus. That's it right there. Wow, wow. I don't know. I think there's something on you right now because I about fell over. You put your hand on my back, put your hand on her. Wow. Wonderful. You see, it just did happen. It just
In you we have our being. Father, we worship you. We worship you. We worship you. So good tonight. Sure, I could share more and say some things, but I believe God's had his way tonight. How many of you believe that? Amen. Don't ever forget, always engage him. Fellowship with him. Pray in the Holy Ghost with all of your heart, with who you are, in full assurance that, hey, I know him. In faith. Amen. I guess I'm going to tell a little story, so be seated for just a moment. Years ago, when I took over the prayer program at Rhema, God began to deal with me about some changes that he wanted made. And I just prayed it out, and he gave me direction on some things, but I wanted to make sure I was making the right decisions. So I called all the prayer leaders in, and we were praying one night before a Wednesday night or a Sunday night service. And as we're all in there, there was probably anywhere between 50 to 70 leaders. And we're in there praying, and I told them, guys, I want to make sure I'm making right decisions, so just help me pray. Because, you know, Rhema's big. We got to make sure the prayer program is on it. And so we started praying, and I was standing at the podium like this, similar to this. And as I'm praying in the Holy Ghost, I mean, I'm in a room of prayer, so they're going for it. We're all praying in the Spirit. And then all of a sudden, as I'm by myself at the podium, I felt a breeze go by my left side. And so I opened my eyes to see who came up here to pray with me. Well, there was nobody. I mean, I did a whole 180, looked around. There was nobody. Looked above my head to see if there was an air conditioning unit up there, something, a vent. Nothing. I thought, oh, well, kept praying in the Spirit. Then all of a sudden, I felt another breeze come by on my right side. And I thought immediately, I'm going to catch him in the act. So I opened my eyes real fast. And again, there was nobody. Couldn't see anybody that had even moved. Everybody was sitting in their chairs, their heads were bowed, and they were praying. And when you're praying with people that know how to pray, they go to town. They're going for it. And so I thought, well, what is going on here? And then all of a sudden, as I'm standing here at the podium, I knew somebody was standing in front of the podium. Not somebody in the natural, but somebody. I thought, is it an angel in front of the podium? Who is this? Is it the Lord? And so I stopped all the prayer leaders from praying. I go, everybody stop for a minute. I had to shout it about 3 or 4 different times. They finally all stopped and they looked at me and I said, guys, something's happened. And I told them about the breeze on my left, the breeze on my right. And I said, somebody's at the podium. Do any of you see or know something? And some of them just looked at me like, and I just said, well, I go, let's just pray in the Holy Ghost a little bit longer. And as we do, we'll know. We'll hear and see who it is. So we bowed our heads. We begin to pray again. Man, those prayers know how to pray, and they immediately started right back in. And all of a sudden, I heard him speaking to me. a voice that I've known since I was a kid, and it was Jesus. And he said to me, he goes, Leanne, my stamp of approval is upon the prayer program here at Rhema. And then he paused. And I was like, why is he pausing? And then I stopped everybody from praying again. Everybody, wait a minute, wait a minute. I know who it is. It's Jesus. They all got quiet. I said, he just said to me that his stamp of approval is upon the prayer program here at Rhema. And they're rejoicing. And then he began to say more to me. And then he'd pause. And I'd think, why is he pausing so much? Well, for me to tell everybody what he was saying. So that went back and forth about 3 or 4 times. And guys, man, his presence was so awesome. Oh, I could sense him. I could feel him. I could hear him. Oh, it was wonderful. And then all of a sudden, not only were the prayers praying, but the spirit of prayer fell on the room. Have you ever been in a room where the spirit of prayer fell? If that happens, you can't get them to stop praying. And they started praying in such a way, whew, and being a prayer myself, I got caught up praying with them. Even had moved over to the side over here, praying with them. Then all of a sudden, I stopped. And I looked back at the podium and I was like, why did I leave the podium for? Jesus was right there. Couldn't see him with my natural eye, but I could sense him. He'd been speaking. And then I went back over to the podium. They didn't even know I even left. Wasn't even praying anymore. I was aggravated. In other words, I was fleshing out. And I stood at that podium. And I was just like, I can't believe I got moved by this and went over there and started praying and left him. And now I can't sense him. And about that time, my eyes are wide open, okay? About that time, I saw the door to the Prayer and Healing Center open. And when it opened, I thought maybe someone had went to the restroom or something. And I just looked and thought, well, who's coming back in? To see that it was Jesus that walked right in. And I'll never forget it when he walked in through the back and he came down the middle aisle and he's got his head tilted, just kind of smiling and shaking his head at the same time. He got to the podium, just right up in my face, and he said, Leanne, the same manner I came in this room tonight is the same manner in which I live in you always. And I looked at him because, guys, I felt him walk to my left, come around to my right. I sensed him all over that podium, all over me. And he said, the same manner in which I came in this room is the same manner I live in you always. Guys, at that moment, he was gone. I couldn't see him with my natural eye anymore, but he wasn't gone. The reality, I got revelation. You're with me always. No matter what I'm walking through, no matter what I'm doing, no matter what I might be doing in ministry and life, you're with me. The Bible says that he'll never leave us. The Spirit of truth is never gonna forsake us. He's with us always. Guys, if I leave anything with you tonight, remember, he's with you. He's with you, the Spirit of truth. And he will lead you. He will guide you. He will direct you in life. He will show you how to pray. Show your revelation in life. Living above and not beneath. Living in Christ, you are complete. Live in him. Oh, live in him. Live in him. out of your heart connected to the one that we know most. Greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. Amen.